The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. We begin with verse 31.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise
you may be seated. Go back to the last slide of the second lesson. Go back right there. This just jumped out. Oh, no, that's the gospel. Keep going back. There. What becomes of boasting? It is excluded. We can't boast about who we are, how great we are, how wonderful we are, even though we are all of that. But rather, we boast about God and God's faith. That's what we boast about. And then that verse 28, that's one of the key verses, we hold that a person is justified by faith. Not by works, but by faith. That's how God makes us right. All right, I gotta stop this. Otherwise, I'll be hotter than H-E double hockey stick. Matt, there's a whole bunch of sermon slides. I'll try to cue you when to advance them. Go back to the sermon right there. What Sunday is today? How often do we celebrate it? Once a year. What Sunday do we celebrate it on? Last Sunday. Oh, you guys are like, oh, I'm just going to say amen. We're done. Nobody's cheering too loudly. So what is Reformation Sunday? Maybe more importantly, why should we care? Next slide. The Reformation began in the 16th century. All across Western Europe, the Roman Catholic Church really was the only Christian church in Western Europe at that time. They were in the process of funding and building St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. This required tons of money. And one of the ways they raised money for it was the sale of indulgences. Next slide. If a person was sorry for their sins, and if they repented by making a financial gift to help with the building of St. Peter's Basilica, then the church would give them a piece of paper and recognize that this person made that gift, but it also forgave that person or a loved one some of their sins. This gift, called indulgence, promised that the giver or their loved one would be free from a portion of the suffering expected after death. The church at that point in time had the belief that everyone who died would spend a little bit of time or a lot of time, depending on how good they were here on earth, in a place where their earthly sins would be cleansed and erased or purged. In this place was called, or is called, purgatory. The indulgence, this piece of paper, promised to shorten the time spent in purgatory for the giver or their loved one. The church was telling the people that their sins could be forgiven through money. Next Sunday is All Saints Sunday. Next slide. All Saints Sunday, November 1st each year, was and is a very important time in the life of the church. And during this time, it was very important for this money reason. These indulgences were encouraged more and more because on All Saints Day, All Saints Sunday, you remember your loved ones who are departed, who have died. And what more precious, wonderful gift could you give than a piece of paper that said your loved one could have their time in purgatory shortened a bit? So therefore, buy this indulgence. Next slide. The day before November 1, October 31st, All Hallows Eve, or what we call Halloween, a German monk by the name of Martin Luther nailed 95, I was going to ask you that, how many theses were there? 95. Theses or statements that he objected to the selling of these indulgences, and there were some other concerns that he had with the church. And what's amazing was, even before the advent of social media, all of these statements and other writings of the early church went viral big time. They just swooped, and there's a whole bunch of reasons for that. The Holy Spirit being probably the biggest reason there, but Johann Gutenberg invented that printing press and made it easy to copy a piece of paper rather than having the scribes hand copy them. These 95 theses, these other writings went viral. Soon Europe was embroiled in a war between the Catholics and the Protestants. Governments and countries fought each other because of the Reformation. Yep, we're good, yep. In a nutshell, Martin Luther believed that we are not forgiven because of anything we do, including the buying and selling of indulgences, or doing this or doing that. Instead, Luther believed that we are forgiven because we have a God who does things first. God loves us. God forgives us. God is full of grace and mercy and love. And because of these teachings that Luther was doing, he got kicked out of the church. Luther and others who agreed with him were a part of that Protestant Reformation. And all Protestants today trace their beginnings back to that time, October 31st, 1517. All right, here's a scary part of the sermon for me. Somebody gave me a Reformation song set to the tune of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I thought really long and hard about singing a verse and chorus of it, but I thought better, and I said, I'm not going to pain you too much. That would be like you buying indulgences. But the song is called the Reformation Polka, and Joan and I were talking about it on the way here because he brought his accordion, but we didn't have time to practice. Let's go to the next slide. This is written by Richard Gable. The verse starts out, when I was a younger man, I studied canon law. Canon law means he was studying to be a lawyer at Erfurt. While Erfurt was a challenge, it was just to please my pa. His father wanted him to be a lawyer because lawyers back then made a lot of money, right? And so if he made a lot of money, he could take care of his father in his father's old age. Then came the storm, the lightning strike. I called upon St. Anne. This is a really cool part of the story. He's walking home, big thunderstorm comes, lightning all around him. He prays, Lord God, save me. He prays to St. Anne. Save me and I will become a monk. He became a monk. His father was not happy. He shaved his head. That was one of the signs of the Augustinian monk. He took his vows in Augustinian, and then we go into the chorus. Let me explain a couple of things here. Papal bulls, these are not animals. These are statements that the Pope makes that becomes law. Indulgences, I've talked about them. Transubstantiation, any good Catholics here that want to? Transubstantiation is how the Roman Catholic Church describes the mystery of the communion elements being Christ's body and blood. It's a fancy word, transubstantiation. Lutherans, we just say it is. It's a mystery. I don't know how God does it, but God does it. Catholics call that trans. So papal bulls, indulgences, transubstantiation. Speak your mind against them and face excommunication, getting kicked out of the church. Nail these theses to your door. Let's start a reformation. Papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. There are three more verses, but guess what? We're not going to do them. Next slide. Reformation Sunday gives us a chance to look back on our history, to learn about, to remember the Reformation story, to give thanks to God for Martin and Katie Luther and others, to learn about our roots, our history at us as a Protestant church. It gives us a chance to talk about our faith. Next slide. Reformation Sunday also reminds us about our faith. One of our core foundational beliefs is this: God loved us first, God continues to love us, and God continues to shower us with his love, his grace, his forgiveness. Martin Luther and the other reformers risked their lives to make changes in the Christian church, from buying indulgences, the selling of forgiveness, to it's all about God. It is God who loves us, God who forgives us. So what about the Reformation tomorrow? Do we as Lutheran Christians continue to be in a frame of mind of reforming, changing, making ourselves, this community, this congregation, the world a better place, to reflect God's love for God's creation and God's people? If so, what does that Reformation look like? What will Reformation look like tomorrow, next year, 5 years from now? How are we going to be called, and what does it look like for us to be the reformers of Salem? I'm not sure about what the future holds for this congregation and the whole church. God knows. I am not sure that what it will take to continue the Reformation in and through this place. God knows. I'm not a big risk taker myself. I'm uncomfortable stepping out into an unknown future, but I do know that God is with me, God is with us, and God will be with us no matter what tomorrow looks like. When I think about what it will take for all of us to continue this Reformation today and tomorrow, there are three things that come to mind, maybe more. First one, next slide. For God's people in this place to be reading the Bible, to spend time in prayer, read the Bible at home, be a part of a small group or Bible study, spend time praying to God for direction, and then listen. Listen to God's voice. Number two, next slide. Have conversations with others. Be in discussion about what you think God is calling the people here at Salem to be, to do as God's reformers in this church. What is God calling us to do? Let's talk about it. Let's have some great discussions. Number three, And this is the one where, Lisa, I was thinking about what you said at the end of your thank you for the Apple Fest. Get involved. Don't be a Monday morning quarterback reflecting about how others are doing the ministry. Get involved and do the ministry here in the community, in the state, around the world. Get involved, take chances. One of my family's favorite cartoon characters is Miss Frizzle, Magic School Bus. Miss Frizzle would always say, get dirty, take chances, make mistakes, because in doing so, you're gonna learn. Always know that the Holy Spirit is alive and working in and through all of us. We are the reformers of today. God is with us. Let's do ministry. Amen. Kind of a post note there. I was going to step down and we'd have a conversation here, but the time doesn't. But Lisa's suggestion, we've got seed money through Helping Hands through the Apple Festival. If you've got some idea, talk about it with some other people and then formulate a plan, and Helping Hands, this money is there to help that process get going. Amen. 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 Amen.